Maybe you would ask Pastor Winston, why do we have this series of ASF, Abraham School of Finance? What's the reason? No, I've been in school for so many years now. How many of you are still studying? You're still in school. High school, college, all right, masteral, all right. You know, when you remember when you were in college, there are some subjects that you like and there are some subjects that you don't like. Diba? Ano yung subjects that you like? What are the some of the subjects that you like? Favorite subjects nyo? Recess? All right. Ano, ano pa? What else? Huh? Math? Favorite yung math? PE? Okay. Katikisim? Nagkakating sa katikisim. What are some subjects that you don't like? Algebra, math, yeah, no? Isa-isay natin, no? Why algebra, math, calculus? Kasi, di ba, magagamit ba natin yon? Can you use that when you're shopping in the department store? You will compute calculus, no? How about biology? How many of you like biology? No? Or chemistry? Diba? Will you be able to use those subjects when you're in the market? Pag namamalengke kayo, biology, what's the scientific name of his? Hasa, hasa. Lepu. Diba? Would you use that? No? Biology, chemistry. Pag nagluluto kayo, chemistry. No? I remember psychology. No? We like the teacher in college, psychology, but since it has nothing to do with engineering, no, all those things that we memorized, I forgot it the next semester in psychology. But here, you know, Abraham School of Finance. Now, you know, in the area of finances, there are lots of people who have been to school, have graduated with MBA, they have been to the best schools. But yet, when they became rich, when they have when they prospered in business, they were not able to control their spending, their use of credit cards, and so they end up being broke and having incurred bad debts. Nagkautang pa, no? Maybe some of you know people like that. They have inherited a vast fortune from their father, from their parents, but they were not wise managers of the inheritance or the wealth that they have received. And even married people, no, one of the most common cause of why married couples separate is because they don't know how to handle financial issues. They're not able to handle the pressures in terms of finances. It's either they have too much wealth, they have too much money, no, they don't know how to manage, how to allocate the 1 million pesos allowance from their dad, or they have insufficient money. They fight over money. They lack the finance they need. So puro utang or na puro diligensya. Okay. And then there are also Wall Street investors. No? Merong mga investors, stock brokers who were rich and famous, but yet because of wrong decisions, they lost their business, their investments. And one of them is the German billionaire Adolf Merkel. Yeah, Adolf Merkel, who has a net worth of 8.5 billion euros. But when he foresaw that his stocks are losing and he's about to lose because of financial pressure, he committed suicide in January 5, 2009. No? He was run over by a train in Germany. Nagpasagasa sa tren. When you're in MRT and when you see someone doing like this, no, rescue that person. It's not the end of the world. Okay, invite him to victory in Metris, no, and he'll be saved. All right. So that's why we have these finances, this series on finance. There's also the lottery curse. Those people who won the lotto, the jackpot, no, sweepstakes, instant wealth. And because they don't have the character to handle their instant wealth, they end up having wasting their possessions, their money. No, gastos doon, gastos dito. and now they are miserably poor. Proverbs 20:21 says, an inheritance quickly gained at the beginning will not be blessed at the end. And that's why we have this series, Abraham's School of Finance, because we will be studying how to handle finances in the biblical way. And we will be looking at the life of one of the men, who most blessed man that ever walked on earth. No, he was not just blessed financially, but he was blessed in all areas of his life. No, and we'll be looking at the life of Abram, and we will see that the reason why God prospered, why he received so much wealth and blessing and prosperity, is because of his covenant with God, his relationship with God, more than his own ability. No, it's because of what God did for him. And so today, let me share to you the outline for this message. No, first, we'll look at the definition of covenant. Definition of covenant. Then now, God's covenant with Abraham. And then the application of this covenant for us today. All right, let's first define covenant. Now, what does the word covenant mean? Ano ba ibig sabihin ng covenant? In the Old Testament times, a covenant was an agreement between two parties that bound them together with common interests and responsibilities. Okay, so it's an agreement, it's a pledge, it's a pact, a compact, an agreement, a strong agreement, a treaty, an alliance. No, for example, there are two kings who made a contract, a covenant. One is a more powerful king, and he made a covenant with a less powerful king. Okay, yung unang hari, si King Abu Dhabi, he made an alliance and a covenant with King Bubu Dhabi. Okay, that whoever attacks King Bubu Dhabi will be attacked by King Abu Dhabi. All right, he will defend and he will protect this king. That's a covenant, right? And bound interest and responsibility. And so there are covenants that are conditional. You know, it depends on how you will fulfill the conditions of the terms of the covenant, such as the covenant given to Moses. And then there are also unconditional covenant or unilateral covenant. And it's between two parties, but only one party is required to fulfill the terms of the covenant. That's what God did with Abraham. It's a one-sided, unconditional covenant. And let's first distinguish or differentiate the difference between a contract and a covenant. Ano bang kaibahan ng contract and covenant? A contract, a man-made contract, is an agreement between equal parties. Whereas a covenant is a treaty of loyalty between a great king, a superior king, what we called back then a suzerain, a landlord, and between a lesser king or his vassal or his servant, a lesser or less powerful king, or between God and man, a God who has no equal. All right, then a contract is based on mistrust. When you enter into a contract or protection, just in case someone does not fulfill the terms of this covenant, pag hindi nabayaran, if you are not able to pay the monthly payment, no, or the monthly rent, there's something that will happen. And then it's based on mistrust. That's why there's protection if you have a contract. Covenant is based on God's love, commitment, and faithfulness to His people. That's why you can be assured your faith is dependent on God's faithfulness, because God doesn't change. Hindi siya pabago-bago. He's unwavering. He does not flip-flop or change his mind. Whatever he said in his word, that's it for the generations to come. A contract has a time limit. When the goods are delivered and exchanged, it's done. But once it's broken, it's null and void. On a covenant, on the other hand, it affects and benefits successive generations. Okay, tuloy-tuloy. It up to the next and susunod na sa linhay, it will affect the next generations, whoever they may be, the descendants of the person who entered the covenant. And so a covenant is more than just an agreement, which can be broken anytime. It's more than a contract. It is sacred. And there are blessings if you obey the terms of the covenant. There are curses if you disobey the covenant. No? And so now let's look at the God's covenant with Abraham. What did God promise Abraham? God is the author and initiator of this covenant. Abraham was just living life. He was just like a guy here in Metro East, walking down here in Marcos Highway, watching a concert last night here in Metro East. And God called him, Abram, leave your country, leave your family, and go to the place I will call you. All right, leave Metro East and go to Timor-Leste, something like that. You don't know, you haven't been there. But because God has a purpose to bless him, and so that he can be a blessing to the nations of the earth. No? Sabi ng mga natin, tell your sick mate, God will bless you. Sabi mo, God has blessed you. Sabi mo, so you can be a blessing. All right, kita tayo mamaya after the service. Diyan na, sa KFC. All right, na. Ako bahala sa iyo, sabi mo. So God wants to establish his covenant with Abraham and with us because there's a reason. And there are three main features of this Abrahamic covenant. The three main promises. First, there's a promise of land. Okay? God set the boundaries of this land in Canaan. As far as your eyes can see, to the north, east, west, and south, lahat ng bundok dyan sa Antipolo, nakikita mo, sa'yo yan. Ayan, i-claim mo na. Alright, no? Or mag-prayer walk ka. No? Prayer walk, kung nirerentahan mo yung bahay. No? If you're still renting a house, you prayer walk again around that house. Alright? And pag nakita ka na mayar, what are you doing? I'm just praying and claiming this house, hallelujah, by faith. No? Alright, no? Then there's a promise of descendants, people, a great nation will come out of you, and you will be blessed. Then there's the promise of blessing, no? Through you, all the nations, all the families on earth will be blessed. And if you look at the Jewish nation, no? They are most blessed race, wherever they are, whether they're in the Middle East, in Israel, or in the U.S. Some of the famous scientists, inventors, and businessmen, Steven Spielberg, no? And even their land, no? God has protected their land. It was not Israel who claimed that land. It was God who gave that land. And that's why even though many Arab nations are fighting against Israel. No? Remember, in 1967, there was this Six-Day War. Syria, Lebanon, Jordan, Egypt, the Arab nations ganged up on Israel. Pinagtulungan yung Israel, but the Lord fought for Israel. Israel defeated them in just 6 days. A miracle. No? Because of God's intervention. So this covenant of Abraham goes through generations. And we can see that there are seven wheels in Genesis 12, 2 to 3. The I wills. I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I'll make your name great. You'll be famous and successful and you will be a blessing. Verse 3. I will bless those who bless you and whoever curse you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Saan ka man pumunta, wherever the Filipinos are, they will be blessed through this. They can sing like Charisse. They can work hard by day. They can sing by night. No? And they can be the best boxers in the world. All earth, all peoples on earth, we be blessed. They'll be put to sleep. Anyway, I think that's beyond. Sorry. Delete that. All right. But the question is, will God really fulfill His promises in this covenant, in His covenant with Abram? You know, three chapters later, Genesis 15, Abram was questioning God, Lord, will you really fulfill your covenant? I'm still childless. Wala pa rin akong anak. Hanggang ngayon, uugod-ugod na matanda na si Sarah. Tanda na si Abram and Sarah. Where is the land that you have promised me? And so in order to assure Abram that God will fulfill His promises, he did something here in Genesis 15. The ratification, the demonstration that God will fulfill His covenant. Now, have you ever heard a promise from someone but never materialized? No? May pinangakuan ka na ba? Pero yung pangako, napako. There was a patient in a hospital who was hospitalized. He was really sick, 50-50. And the doctor visited him, and the patient, still dizzy, said to the doctor, Doctor, please help me. I'm sick, and I promise you, if I get well, if this operation is a success, I will donate 2 million pesos to this hospital. And, okay, don't worry, sir. I will do my best to, so that you will recuperate, you will recover, and by next week, you'll be out of this hospital. And so then the doctor performed the operation. He did his best. He was a specialist. And the week later, the patient was out. No? He was well. He was healthy and strong. And the doctor met him on the street. And the doctor, hey, sir, how are you? And kumusta? And I'm glad that you are able to recover quick. And sir, can I remind you of the promise that you said? But remember when you're on your bed last week, you promised that you would donate 2 million pesos to this hospital. And the man, businessman, said, let me think. That promise, I don't remember that promise. Is that really true? I made that promise of donating? Well, if I ever made that promise, doctor, I'm sorry. Forgive me. I must have said it because I must have been really sick at that time. Talagang hilong-hilo lang siya. May sakit siya, kaya niya nasabi yun. So there are many people who made promises, but they are able, but yet they are not willing to fulfill that promise. Or if they are willing, they are not able to fulfill that promise. Tao lamang may pangangailangan, may kahinaan. May pangailangan din. So, they can't help. But here in Genesis 15, we will see that God is both willing and He is able to fulfill His promise. Genesis 15, verse 9, what does it say? So the Lord said to Abram, to him, bring me a heifer, that's a young female cow, a goat, and a ram, each 3 years old, along with a dove and a young pigeon. Verse 10, and Abram brought all these to him, cut them in two, and arranged the halves opposite each other. The birds, however, he did not cut in half. Then birds of prey came down on the carcasses, but Abram drove them away. As the sun was setting, Abram fell into a deep sleep, and a thick and dreadful darkness, remember that word, darkness, came over him. Verse 17, when the sun had set and darkness had fallen, a smoking firepot with a blazing torch appeared. That's the presence of God. God's presence appeared and passed between the pieces, between the sacrifice. Verse 18, on that day, the Lord made a covenant. Everybody say, made a covenant. With Abram and said, to your descendants, I give this land from the river of Egypt to the great river, the Euphrates. Now, what happened here? God made a covenant with Abram. What does the word covenant mean? Originally, it came from the Hebrew word berith, which means a compact. a treaty, an agreement made by cutting. So as Abram brought these animals and birds, no, these animals, Abram slaughtered them, killed them, cut in half, and the Lord passed through the sacrifice. What does it mean? It was this bereath, this cutting signifies the custom, yung nakagawian nila. They know what it meant before, that whenever you made a covenant, you cut animals in half, so that if ever you don't fulfill the demands and the terms, the conditions, the agreement in this covenant, may you be like those animals that were cut in half. May you be like those animals that were slaughtered. That's what will happen to you. And so it's as if God swore to himself, because there's no one higher than him. He swore by himself, and may I be like these animals if I don't fulfill. God is serious in fulfilling his covenant. That's what he's telling to Abram. And so he erased the doubts of Abram. He assured him. He made him realize that God will fulfill his promises to Abram. Now, what does it mean for us today? What's the application? Number three, God, the application of the Abrahamic covenant for us. How can we access? Is the Abrahamic covenant only for Abram, or does it still apply to us today? How does it relate to us today? Now, in Acts chapter 3, Peter preached to the Jewish listeners in Jerusalem, and he told them that this covenant God made with Abraham reaches out to you. It's also for you. And in Galatians 3, Paul also wrote to the church in Galatia that this Abrahamic covenant is for you. Now, in the New Testament, we can see that the Abrahamic covenant, this covenant, is between God the Father and God the Son. So that God the Son, Jesus Christ, fulfilled, he was the one who was sacrificed in order to fulfill the terms of the covenant God made with Abraham, so that it can be applied to us today. We'll read that here in Galatians chapter 3, 8 to 9. It says here, the scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations, everybody say all nations. And that's why we're going into all nations, right? We'll be sending a team to Thailand. Where's the team to Thailand? Raise your hand. Who are you? All right. Nine. And how many are you in the team? Seven, all right, seven. We'll be sending seven men and women here from Metro East to Thailand for 10 days, 2 weeks, you know, to the nations. All nations will be blessed through you. That's the reason why God will bless us, so we can be a blessing, not just here in Metro East, but to the nations. You know? And that's why as God prospers you and blesses you, it's our obligation, it's our responsibility to share the blessings to people around us. No? Kaya nga, that's why we have this race for life. Diba? We want to bless this worthy, this deserving, yet underprivileged students. You know, when you bless these scholars, they're hindi lang yung scholars ang nabiblessed. It's not just the students are blessed. No? Even their families, after they graduate, they're able to work and help their families, and they're able to invite their families to church. The whole families are getting saved because of this Real Life Foundation. How many of you here are running this Saturday? How many of you are running? All right. Some of us, marami. Maraming may iwan dito sa bahay. No? Kaya nga kami, my whole family will be running. Me and my wife and my two sons will be running. All right. This Saturday morning at the fort. Kaya yung 5K, nakatakbo na ako dyan eh. Wala nang challenge. 5K, 10K. Wala nang challenge na yung Pastor Alfred. Pastor Dan. Kaya sa 3K na lang ako tatakbo. Wala na kasing challenge eh. Kaya gusto ko yung mabilisan na lang. Tapos kagad, no? Run, no? Sprint. Okay. Pang dun ako sa next time, I would suggest the 100 meter dash, a race for life, no? Quick, it's quick and amazing, no? And you're able to help the scholars, no? In a quick and amazing way, yeah. 100 meter dash, run for life, no? Not race for life, run. I wanna run. Run fast. All right. Those are, all right, verse 9. So those who have faith. All right, how many of you here have faith? All right, faith in God. Not faith in your job. Not faith in your business. Not faith in your investments or stocks. Not faith in your inheritance from your rich parents. But faith in God. Those of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. You're blessed along with Abraham. You're part of the promises. Verse 13. How is it possible? Verse 13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. When Jesus hung on the tree, on the cross, he redeemed us. He purchased our redemption. He redeemed us. He saved us. In order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles. Eh, sabi mo sa katabi mo, that's you. That's you, the Gentiles. The non-Jewish people, the Gentiles, that's us. Might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. It says there, Jesus redeemed us. You know, when Jesus hung on the cross, he redeemed us. Tinubos niya tayo mula sa ating kasalanan. Not by our works tayo maliligtas, hindi sa mabuting gawa, but because of his blood, because of his sacrifice. You know, remember what happened in Genesis? Compare that to Mark chapter 15. What happened at the cross? Mark 15, at the sixth hour, darkness came. Remember that darkness in Genesis 15? This is covenant language. Darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus experienced being forsaken by God the Father because of our sins. And also in Isaiah 53, verse 8, by oppression and judgment, he was taken away. And who can speak of his descendants? For he was cut off. Remember, covenant means cutting off. He was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people, he was stricken. Because of our sins, he was cut off. The Son of God experienced being cut off so that we can be part. Can you show that picture? So that we can be part of the covenant that God spoke to Abraham. And Jesus is the final and ultimate sacrifice. Abraham offered this sacrifice, but it prefigured, it foreshadows, it's a shadow of the real and lasting and final sacrifice that Jesus will perform on the cross so that we can be part of that Abrahamic covenant. And that's why the burden of being blessed is not on your shoulders, but it's on God's shoulders. It's on God's hands. You don't have to strive. Hindi mo na kailangan mag-strive or mag-silent kaliwa-kanan. Hindi mo na kailangan gawing gabi ang araw at araw ay gabi. No? You don't have to strive or look and depend on your depend on this world. For prosperity and blessing, just look to Jesus. And He will guide you. He will direct you. He will speak to you. So that you will spend your days in prosperity and your years in contentment. And so, what did Abraham do? All he needed to do is believe in the Lord. Genesis 15:6. Abraham believed in the Lord. He believed in the promise. And it was credited to him as righteousness. And so, all you have to do is to be in Christ. If you want to be a partaker, if you want to access this Abrahamic covenant. So the main point I want to leave with you today is this. In Christ, you become the recipient of all the benefits of God's covenant. Because of what Christ did, you can receive all the promises, all the blessings that God spoke to Abraham in his covenant with him. In Christ, you become the recipient. Let's say this all together. Ready, go. In Christ, you become the recipient of all the benefits of God's covenant. And the Bible says in Galatians 3, if you belong to Christ, you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. You are the true children. You belong to the true descendants of Abraham. So that what God, whatever God promised Abraham, God also promises it to you. It belongs to you. It's yours. And that's why today we'll have a faith declaration. We will confess the word. We'll speak the Abrahamic covenant in Genesis 12 and apply it to our lives. And as we confess this word, as we speak the word of God, let's believe that it will be fulfilled in your life, in your family, in your generation. And so let's all stand and confess these words all together. Sabay-sabay po tayo. All right, are you ready? All right. Let's say this all together. Ready, go. Father in heaven, I thank you that at the cross, the Lord Jesus has delivered me from the curse of the law so I can partake of your covenant with Abraham. I have been redeemed from sickness, poverty, and spiritual death. Because I belong to Christ, I belong to the true children of Abraham. I am his heir, and God's promise to Abraham belongs to me. I am blessed with Abraham, the man of faith. Lord, I pray that you would show me the land that belongs to me. Oh God, bless me so that I will be a blessing. Bless those who bless me. Bless my family so that we can be a blessing to our community, city, and country. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a big hand. Praise if you believe it. Glory to God. God's covenant with Abraham belongs to you.